It's episode 204 of the Southern Fried Security Podcast, where we finish up our three-part lesson on evaluating your security program. So, Joseph, it's been a pretty interesting ride so far.
It has been an interesting ride. It's good to be back, you know, trying to finally get this rounded out.
And also joining us is, as always, provided his mute button is not pressed, is Steve Reagan.
Hi, I'm off mute now. It works, I promise.
And of course, you can tell from the snarky giggling in the background, the always wonderful Yvette Johnson has joined us as well.
God, it's always a happy day when I can add my snarky giggle in.
Yes, your snarky giggle has given me joy for at least 15 years. So why stop now? So Joseph, evaluating our security program.
So this finishes up the three-parter that we started back in episode number 202, where we talked a little bit about awareness and education. I say a little bit because we definitely didn't have much to say there. We also then jumped into threat mapping in episode number 203, where we talked about mapping outside threats to inside controls and tech. And so this will be kind of the final part, talking about communications, which is not as easy as people think it is, but I think we're going to dive into that a lot. So to go ahead and make sure that we cover our bases here, Martin, can you go ahead and just sum up why you want to evaluate your security program at all?
Well, if you we've touched on this the last couple of times, but you have to evaluate your program on a regular basis. I would suggest doing it as part of your annual policy review. You have that cadence, and you're constantly getting the feedback, and you can make the course corrections. Because if you don't evaluate, you're never going to improve. You're going to keep doing the same thing the same way, and you're always going to get the same results. And again, review and improvement and engagement is going to help protect your budget. Security leaders, you know this as well as I do. Two-thirds of our job, at least, is selling our program to our peers, to our executives, and to our customers, which means creating, protecting, and sustaining our budgets. That's, you know, some people consider that to be a very ugly thing to say, but it's truth, especially in larger organizations. And especially this communications plan that we're going to be talking about is a key part of evaluating your program so that you're communicating effectively with those key stakeholders, which helps protect your budget.
And so let's go ahead and just jump straight into that, because I think you segued us nicely there.
Thank you.
Why do we want to consider communications, right? For the budget purposes or for other reasons?
I think there's a lot to it. If you think about it, education awareness that we talked about a couple episodes ago, that's how employees engage the program, right? We're trying to give them actionable things that they can do to at least not be part of the problem, but hopefully be able to assist you in the program. Communications is how you engage the management team to show them what you've done to help the organization, and you're informing them as to what you're doing, what you're planning on doing, and what that investment needs to look like. It just like, you know, if you're in business, as in dating or any other aspect of life, if people don't know who you are or what you do, they're not going to be able to help you. They're not going to be willing or able to support anything you do when you need help. It's just, it's the way human beings are. And the challenge is, and this is something that a lot of people don't necessarily realize because it's not necessarily obvious, is the higher up in the org that you want to communicate, you have to be much more deliberate in how you plan to do that. The filters that happen in an organization, the closer you get to the CEO, those filters become much stronger, the walls become a lot higher, and access gets much more difficult. So unless you deliberately plan out how you're going to be communicating, you're not going to be able to reach the people that you really need to reach about your program and about your plan.
Now, when you are talking about communications and communications plans, can you kind of explain specifically what you're talking around? Because, for example, I spend a lot of my days writing communications around, hey, there are these new vulnerabilities that may impact this product or that product, something along those lines. But I don't think that's specifically what you're talking about, or is it?
Well, it's part of it. I mean, the way you think about a communications plan is you need to figure out who your audience is. If you're talking about vulnerabilities for a product, there's going to be a subset of your stakeholders that are going to be really interested in that information. There's going to be another subset of your stakeholders that at best, it's going to sound like what the grownups sound like on Charlie Brown. And at worst, they're going to be pissed off because you wasted their time. So you have to look at each of the sub-organizations that you communicate with. There's the CIO organization, the CFO org, the chief operating officer organization, the chief marketing officer organization, the chief compliance officer organization, all of those organizations. And they each have a different view on the world. There's different things that they think are important. And, you know, like CFOs, they want to know, are you spending money wisely? The COO is more interested, are you impacting operations, right? Are you slowing us down? Are you making it harder for us to deliver the products or services? And so each one, as you look at those suborgs, you need to figure out what part of my security program matters to them. Because one of the key things when you're communicating with those suborganizations is, what's in it for me? Why does this matter? You need to answer that question in the first sentence of your communication. Otherwise, it's not going to get the engagement and the penetration you need. Now, one important thing to notice there, I did not call out a CEO org. Unless you're reporting directly to the CEO, the next person down from the CEO who's in your chain is likely going to be the person who has to carry your message to the CEO, especially in large organizations. Access to the CEO in most corporations is controlled similarly or even more so than, you know, the access to the Wizard of Oz, right? No one sees the Great Oz. No one sees the CEO. And we'll talk, it's in another day on, you know, the opportunities and dangers of directly engaging a CEO. You know, there'd be dragons in that space, but that's a whole big topic that we'll have to address at another time.
So it sounds like you're saying that, you know, you have an overall communications plan, but similar to what I tell people about writing your resume is, you know, write your resume for the job you want, not the one you have. And it sounds like you're saying write your communications plan for the audience it needs to reach. And which means you may have multiple communication plans, correct?
Absolutely. And, yeah. And that's why I think, you know, most security organizations, we generate an operations scorecard or an engineering scorecard or a risk scorecard. You know, the operations scorecard or a subset of it, the COO is going to be really interested in, because again, she wants to know that you're not going to mess up production of the service or product that we produce, right? Does the chief compliance officer really care about that? Maybe, but they're probably going to be a lot more interested in, have you hit all of the marks you needed to this quarter against the audit plan? You know, what are the things that really drive their performance plan, their compensation plan, and what's going to be really, really vital to them? And then understanding that each of those audiences is different, you do customize, change the communications for them. And if you don't, you're probably doing it wrong.
So that's really interesting. So when it comes to those sorts of communications, are you creating something new each time, or are you leveraging existing things?
I try to leverage existing stuff first, because if it's something they're used to seeing, even if they're not necessarily in love with it, but if, you know, every week the CFO gets your quarterly spend projection, right? They're used to getting it, and they're probably going to spend 3 seconds looking at it before they move on. So if you can leverage that and maybe throw some additional information into it, around how you're maybe in the security program. Hey, we just renegotiated a services contract and saved $60,000. Wow. The CFO loves to see people saving money and still getting the same stuff. Right. And if you can engage a CFO enough around that where they realize you are effectively stewarding the resources of the organization, when you do have to come to them later and go, there's this, brand new vulnerability that's got a really catchy jingle and look at this scary logo and this massive website. I'm going to need $100,000 to remediate. Because you have communicated before that you are careful with the money, you're going to have a lot easier time getting that $100,000 out of them than this being the first time that you've really tried to engage them. So, and I avoid the newsletter style. I mean, I've seen people try to use sort of an executive newsletter, executive summary, executive daily brief, whatever. I just don't, for most organizations and most executives, those don't seem to work. Executives are very, very busy people. The time value, the monetary value of their time is incredibly high. So it needs to be very succinct. Pictures are better than words. A picture is better than multiple pictures. Compelling progress reports, especially if they're validated by a third party, can be a huge gain. If you do have an external audit, or a, regulator that has to go through your environment, and you did last year's and there was red and yellow and some green, and this year it's mostly green with just a little bit of yellow, and you can create a progress report and say, hey, look, this is validated by Big Four consulting company. That's huge, right? Because what they're saying is, all right, we know we spend way too much on security, but oh my gosh, at least we got that out of it. If you do invent something new, it better be hugely valuable, because otherwise it's potentially going to be seen as you're wasting my time. There's nothing senior executives hate more on most days than people who waste their time. Because again, the time is the one thing they don't have enough of. And if you've wasted it, they'll never get it back. And never, ever, ever. This is my favorite Peter Drucker quote of all time. Communication is what the listener does. Just because you think something is interesting, something because you think something is important, just because you think it's something they need to know, if they don't feel that they need to know it, you've just wasted your effort to communicate with them. So understand your audience, leverage what you've got, and for all that is holy, don't waste their time.
Now, Martin, it sounds to me like that's a lot of playing politics. It sounds like that's a lot of working around and making sure that the message is what people want to see. And that just sounds like politics. I don't know about you, but I'm a code monkey at heart. I spend my time, digging through firewall logs and things like that. This isn't my job.
Yeah, I'm here to keep it real. People who say that, when I talk about, hey, this is the communications plan, this is how we package the communications deck that's going up. Well, you're just playing corporate politics. Well, one, mental note to self that they probably topped out in the organization. Two, they need to get over themselves. And, three, really, they need to get over themselves. Organizations are made of people. And if you don't figure out how to effectively communicate with those specific people, you're doing your job wrong as a security leader. And this is a skill that even if you're not the CISO, even if you're not, the incident response manager, as an individual contributor, these are skills, techniques, and knowledge that can help you build your career. Because if you can better communicate with your manager, with your leader, you're probably going to do better than someone who doesn't. If you are a security manager reporting up to the CISO and you can really effectively communicate with the CISO and they're able to take that information and then immediately turn around and share that further up, that's huge as well. So it's not politics in a negative derogatory sense. It's figuring out how organizations work and discovering what those rules are and doing your job well. And if that's a bad thing, you might want to reconsider some of your life choices. That's all I got to say.
Well, and going back to, you know, you saying this isn't just the IR manager's job or the CISO's job to communicate. I mean, it is at the individual contributor level, right? And even if it is your status report, you know, add very actionable items on there and communicate that upward, right? You're typically communicating that up to your manager or to, you know, which then that gets communicated, you know, they dice all of that status reporting down. They communicate it to their leader, which goes up to, you know, upper levels. And it's still really good, useful information because that's the only way that they're going to keep their finger on the pulse of the entire organization. You know, otherwise, if you as the IC are not communicating upwards, then, you know, they don't really know what's going on in your organization. And you just become that code monkey that Joseph is, just sitting there doing your day-to-day work without really being involved. And like you said, don't say, oh, you're playing corporate politics. Even if you're a small company, it feels like politics, but it's truly not. It is part of communicating as whether you're the CISO as an individual contributor or you're the code monkey as an IC, it's important at every level.
So let me give you an example. So in my shop, I get a weekly operations scorecard. And some of the best ones I get are where all of a sudden one metric has really, really grown or really, really dropped. Now, if all they did was give me the scorecard with the huge increase or the huge decrease and there's no context, I pause for a second, then I walk out there and I grab somebody and go, why did this happen? Right? Yeah. So they just wasted my time. But if part of that communication is, hey, because we did tuning in the sim, we are getting much more actionable data and the number of false positives has dropped by 60% and we're actually focusing more on the real problems. That's why this number dropped. I read that along with the picture of the graph and I'm like, wow, the team has just done something awesome. Then you can believe that what I'm going to do the next time I'm around my boss or I'm around the COO and I'm asked, hey, you know, how are things going? Well, let me tell you a quick story about, hey, this person on my team, was doing some tuning and we become a lot more efficient. They get that. And that's a compelling piece of information that starts off with a code monkey, right? Someone yep. who notices a pattern and says, I can do something about this. Then you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 days later, that's being talked about in front of a senior leader in the organization. That's how things actually happen in most companies. So even if you're an associate analyst or an associate engineer and you figure out one simple thing you can do to make things better, if you can appropriately and compellingly and effectively communicate that up the chain, it will go far because everyone wants to hear about success stories. Everyone wants to, in the management team, wants to be able to demonstrate how the people in their area are adding value or reducing cost or removing risk.
Or communicating the pain points, right. You know, don't just hide it under the rug. It's important. You know, it's going to be painful when you have to talk about some of these issues that you're dealing with. But are you going to sit there and suffer in silence and just think, well, we'll get to it or it'll fix itself? No, communicate that. You have to. It's so important because, like you said, I mean, yeah, you want to see the wins. But you want to know where all the pain points are in the organization so that they just don't continue and that, you know, something effective can be done about them.
Right, because I think there's a responsibility that all of us as security professionals have to point out those pain points. Now, if it's a hill that you want to die on, right, you know, our SIM is whatever, or you know, this system mm-hmm. needs to be renewed, and if we don't do it, I'm going to quit. Well, okay, you can do that. It's probably not a wise decision, but everyone has agency. But I think I like it, and I think most of my peers like it, when if there's an issue in the organization and someone comes to me and says, hey, you know, we've been having continuous problems with this one piece of hardware, and here where it's forcing us to waste this much time every week. And immediately, because of what I do, I'm like, all right, they're wasting, you know, 6 hours a week times the average, you know, labor rate. That's what it costs per week times 52 weeks. That's the annual. And actually replace that piece of hardware is half that. 6 month ROI. I need to go fix that problem. Mm-hmm. All right. And that math happens in CISOs' heads and in organizational executives' heads every single day. So if you can help them make that calculation, you have made things better, and they remember that you're the person who helped because you've done the right thing for the organization.
So, and it's not just plain politics.
It's not just plain politics. I just, there are times when I just want to, you know, my eyeballs want to fly out of my head when people say that. But communications, it's what the listener does. And if you do it effectively, it will make you a much more valuable member of the team than the code monkey who, you know, maybe needs to improve their personal hygiene and get out of the house a little more often. Just not
black sweatshirts.
Yeah, not saying that that's you, Joseph, but just saying.
I work from home. I will.
But I think that pretty much wraps up the topic.
I think so. I think that that's a pretty solid way to walk through evaluating a security program in general. You know, we went through the awareness, we've gone through threat mapping, we've now gone through communications, which is kind of the output of the other two pieces. Martin, I know that you kind of presented this topic at the start. Did you have any final thoughts? That you wanted to wrap us up on?
Sure. The big thing here is when you're evaluating your program, and we've said this a lot, is you have to be honest with yourself. You have to be honest about your program, and you have to be willing to realize that you're not doing everything perfectly. Of course, you may want to, you know, frame it and provide context as you talk about the things that you're maybe not doing very well, but that's the only way to come up with a plan to make things better. So evaluate your program, iterate small, you know, start small, iterate larger, and just work at it. Just work at it. And I think you'll be surprised how much progress you can make in 2 or 3 years in a program. If you just take a moment once a year to sit down and go, where was I? Where am I? Is this the path that I wanted to be on? And if it isn't, what do I have to change to be on the path I want to be on? That is the road to wisdom and happiness as a CISO.
Excellent. I think that sums it up nicely.
Well, everybody, I think this is one of our more interesting multi-part conversations. So, on behalf of everyone here at the podcast, including the still missing but much beloved, and we're really hoping that he'll be back with us soon, Andy Willingham. I'm Martin Fisher, and we'll see you again soon. Good night.
Night, everybody.
Night, y'all.
The Southern Fried Security Podcast is hosted by Martin Fisher, Andy Willingham, Steve Reagan, Joseph Ciccoli, and Yvette Johnson. The views expressed by all participants are their own and don't necessarily reflect the views of their employers. The podcast is produced by Martin Fisher and Joseph Ciccoli. You can find more information about the podcast at www.southernfriedsecurity.com and through the podcast Twitter feed at SFS Podcast.